Listen for Insight, a podcast from Miami University's Lockheed Martin Leadership Institute dedicated to spreading ideas of creativity, innovation, and leadership.
This podcast focuses on transformational leadership. There may be mentions to Lockheed or the Institute during the episode. This is in reference to the Lockheed Martin Leadership Institute, a 3-year transformational leadership development program at Miami University. Eric Dibble is an alumni of the Institute and is being interviewed by Stephen Nitter and Dan File, current members.
Stephen, Dan here for the Listen for Insight podcast. We're joined today by Eric Dibble.
Hello.
And today we're going to be asking Derek a few questions about transformational leadership. So Eric, you have been a member of the Lockheed Martin Leadership Institute. Do you want to tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, so I am part of Cohort 3. I'm a graduate of the Lockheed Martin Leadership Institute. I graduated in the spring of 2016. And now I'm back as a teaching assistant during my last semester here at Miami University. So I'm very pleased to be a part of the Leadership Institute and then to kind of help out and do a Listen for Insight interview.
All right, so we're going to direct a lot of these talking points towards things that you've learned in the Leadership Institute and mainly dealing with transformational leadership. So, Eric, how can a leader take into account the different learning, communication, and work styles of different team members?
So I think a big part of transformational leadership is the ability to recognize the different strengths and weaknesses of people on the team that you have. Whether it's a big project or a small project, people work differently, they learn differently, they communicate differently. And that can lead to being very effective or very ineffective, depending on if you set the people that you're leading up for failure or if you set them up for success. So for example, if you have someone who's very introverted, you probably wouldn't want to give them the job to be the keynote speaker at your upcoming conference.
Yeah.
Or if you have someone that's very extroverted, you wouldn't use them to your full potential. If you had them doing something with, or maybe doing, you know, pushing papers or behind the scenes, you might get more of them in a different role. So I think as a transformational leader, it is up to you to recognize who you have in the team, what their strengths and weaknesses are, and give them the keys so that they can succeed the most and make whatever you're doing to its fullest potential.
What are a few ways that you'd recommend finding those people's strengths, their weaknesses?
I think it comes a lot from observation. So whether it's a team building activity at the beginning before you do anything else, whether it's talking one-on-one with these people about maybe what they're interested in and what they're not interested in, there's a lot of different ways to really figure out people. It can be more formal. It can be very informal. It just depends on how you want to go about doing it. So there's different opportunities to get to know people in a professional setting, whether it's school, whether it's work. You could, you know, obviously meetings are great, but sometimes meetings are a little, you know, people lose focus easily. So maybe use something a little bit more fun, a little bit different that gets people out, gets people interacting with each other and interacting with you. And that way you can kind of see what they are more apt to do and where they'd best fit on your team.
What do you wish that you knew earlier in your leadership development, and how have you grown from when you started?
So one of the big things for me coming into Leadership Institute was I didn't really have a ton of experience, which a lot of people, you know, in your sophomore year of college don't have. And the experience that I'd had with leadership and with things like that was very successful. You know, whether on a high school sports team where you run some program in your high school, they're all they're setting you up so you can't fail. Right? Mm-hmm. They're always there helping you out. You're kind of more of a figurehead than doing any actual leadership. So one of the big things for me coming in was to understand how to fail correctly. Failure to me was a very bad thing, a very negative thing. Through the Leadership Institute and through doing different things in the Leadership Institute as well as like in internships and that sort of thing, I learned that failure can be a good thing and that you need to take the failures that you have and learn from them to move forward. So the first time, you know, we ever did something in Leadership Institute and my team was not successful or we didn't get the outcome we wanted to, I took that as a loss for me. When in reality, it probably wasn't as much of a loss as I looked at it. So you need to kind of step back when you do things that you aren't as successful at and say, okay, you know, how can I learn from these mistakes? How should I do it differently next time? You know, whether you're in a leadership position or you're in a team member position, and if something fails, you need to always take that, you know, kind of turn it 180 degrees and look at it and see what went wrong and why it went wrong. And so, like I said, a big thing for me was just kind of learning to understand my failures and how to take those and move forward instead of just kind of taking them personally and getting down on myself.
That's a really good point. I know we talk, it's grit a lot. You talk about the grit. You got to get back up, brush yourself off, get back out there. Do you maybe have like a specific example of like when that happened? Or?
Yeah. So one of the first big failures I'd say I had was an internship after my sophomore year. So we'd gone through one full year of the Leadership Institute, and I had, we read all the books. We'd gone through a lot of the training. So I had a pretty good feeling of who I was as a leader. But the projects we worked on were really, smaller. They were building into the junior year where you really start to get into these big projects. And I was working at Chrysler, and one of my tasks was to make sure it was kind of a logistics task. And I one day just kind of slipped up and let my mind slip a little bit, and I ended up failing at this logistical task, and the parts weren't where they needed to be when they needed to be there. And I got chewed out for it. And at first I was kind of upset about it, and I was like, oh, woe is me, it wasn't really my fault. But then I got to thinking after that and kind of reflected in that night and the next day into what we learned all in the Leadership Institute. And I used that failure of letting that one day not go correctly to make sure and refocus myself to make sure that the rest of my time at that internship, I never let that same problem happen again. And I think that by looking back at what I did and the mistakes I made, I was able to learn from it, kind of change the way I did things, and made my process of doing my work much more efficient, and made it so that I had some checks and balances. So even if I may have missed one thing, that the parts were where they needed to be every day for the remainder of my stay there. And I think it worked very well since I didn't miss another day. So that was
awesome.
Positive in my eyes.
That's awesome. You can see how your Leadership Institute training has developed even and impacted your professional life as well. So that's really cool to see.
What do you think is the most impactful thing that you've been a part of in the Lockheed Martin Leadership Institute?
The most impactful thing for me has been probably I'll say two different things. So the first thing I think is the exposure to people in the industry who are successful leaders. You get to see different types of people, all successful though, and I think it's interesting to see all the different leaders who are successful in their different ventures. So whether you have, Charlie Haddad from Eli Lilly or Marty Lakes, everyone from the Lockheed, from Lockheed Martin, they're all leaders in their own way, and they all lead differently. They all have different characteristics. So kind of seeing all these different people do their jobs, it kind of matches up to what we're reading, what we're working on, that everyone can be a leader in their own sense. And these people have all developed their personal leadership styles. And so it's interesting to see, people always ask me questions, how'd you become a leader? Any tips for, how to be the best leader? And they all gave different tips. And so seeing that has been extremely interesting. And then the next big thing for me would be the experience that you get. So whether it's your sophomore year, those first teams you're in, working on small projects, and you kind of think those are super important. But then you move into junior year and you see that, these small projects turn into huge projects, and how important it is to be a leader. And people ask, how can you say you're being a leader when you're just on a part of a team? But I think that no matter what team you're on, whether it's that first team sophomore year or a big project on junior year, or you're in your professional life, your first year out, you're probably not going to be a leader, right? Your first year, you're not going to get a title that says project manager, or you're not going to have people underneath you. But I think that you always have yourself to lead. And if you think like a leader, you can understand where your bosses or managers are coming from, and you can be a better employee if you have the mindset of, what you'd want to do in a situation if you were a leader, what you'd expect from your employees. I think that using that mindset and having that experience that you get in the Lockheed Martin Leadership Institute is really great going into the first few years of professional life, even though you may not get to use it till its full potential, so maybe 5-10 years down the road when you do have people underneath you, when you are managing big projects. That's when those skills are really going to come out and flourish.
And the fact that we're getting that training now, before even in the professional workforce, we can just continue to build off that and get that.
Exactly. I think that as you go through, if you have different internships and as you develop as a person, you'll see that these teams you're in, whether it's in Leadership Institute or whether you're working on a senior design project, whether you're working on a big project at your internship, you're going to see that these leadership skills that we talk about, do come to fruition. So you may think of a lot of it's maybe not super important in the books you read. You may kind of just brush some of it off, say that's not super important. But I think as you move on and go forward, you see that these skills really are necessary, and they really are used by a lot of people who are successful in the workforce.
So through any of your projects in the Lockheed Martin Leadership Institute, when you led a team, how did you motivate them to go towards that common goal?
So that's an extremely difficult thing to do, I think, whether you're in a project in the Leadership Institute, whether you're in a project in any other class, or whether you're in the real world. Motivating people is extremely difficult. I think the best way to do that, and the best way that transformational leaders do this, is make people feel like they have a skin in the game. The more intrinsically motivated these people are to do work, to be creative, the better they're going to be as employees or better team members. So I think that when I led Engineers Week, we tried to give different people as much control of their different part of the project as they could. So whether it's the conference, or whether it was the student showcase, or whether it was the day-long event, we tried to give people as much leeway as they could without, you know, diverting from our main goal. You always have to keep that main goal in focus, right? So whatever that goal is, all your effort needs to go towards that main goal. But you need to give people wiggle room. If you give someone a task and you give them the steps on how to do the task and everything's already laid out, it's just following directions, and most people can do that. So I think the more that you're able to let people use those creative juices that they got going, whether it's, you know, they have an aptitude for arts, or you know, whether their interests are in something else, if they can use those different interests and creativity and bring them all together, you're going to get a lot better work out of people because they're going to be more motivated to work for that final goal. So kind of bringing it back around, I think that being a transformational leader is allowing people to work to their fullest potential by not constricting them creatively.
And at the same time, do you feel like you're going to get a better product at the end too?
Oh, of course. I mean, like I said, if you give someone directions and tell them this is how you want to do it, this is how you're going to do it, and here are the 8 steps you need to take, it's going to come exactly like that. Yeah. If that's what you're looking for, that's fantastic. But if you're looking for people to really be involved and dedicated to your project, to your goal, to your event, you need to kind of give them some leeway, feel like they have some ownership of the situation. And in that case, they're going to work not only better, but they're going to be more inclined to work hard, or, you know, get the hard stuff done if they feel like they can really control how this event goes.
So now that you're graduated, what are kind of the next steps in your leadership development? What kind of things are you going to be focusing on to propel yourself in the industry you want to go into?
So leadership, I think, is something that never stops. You can never stop learning about leadership, stop watching great leaders. I think from my experience in Leadership Institute, I now pay attention to leaders in industry and in life more. So whether it's something I'm interested in, like hockey, I watch different coaches, you know, how they lead their teams, how they bring, you know, 25 different people together for a common goal, and how they work differently. I think I try to pay attention to that more and kind of pick up one thing from different people, right? So, you know, if you see, you know, person A is very good at the camaraderie, and person B is very good at the organizational stuff, I think I try to look at all these people and see why they're successful, and see how I can integrate their keys to success into what I do. So moving forward from here, like I said earlier, in a full-time job, the first couple of years, you're not going to have a lot of leadership. You'll have a lot of bosses. Not a lot of people are going to be working for you, but you always do have yourself to lead. So no matter if, you know, the project's all mine, or if I have people helping me, or if I'm doing a project for someone else, I can still use these skills that I've learned to be a transformational leader, even though I might only be working with myself or, you know, some other people, and not a huge group to lead like, you know, you do and later in your career. But I think that keeping up with different books and things like that, there's always stuff online now. There's TED Talks. There's tons of different videos on leadership. I don't think it's necessary to watch them every day. But just kind of when you take that time to self-reflect, you need to look back at everything you do. So if it's a project, if it's, you know, you're looking back after 6 months of work, you just got to take that time to look at yourself and say, okay, what have I done well? What have I not done well? What can I change? That to me is super important. Always keeping your goals in the forefront. So knowing what you want to do, you know, this week, this month, this year, the next 5 years, always keeping those goals updated, I think is going to be a big part for me as I move forward in order to get to those final goals that I want 5 years on the road, 10 years on the road, from a, you know, professional or leadership standpoint.
So you said that leadership is definitely something that's an everyday thing. It's constant. And I know that Dan and I totally agree with that.
Definitely.
I'm Eric Dibble, and thank you for listening for Insight.